My name is Sarah Marcus, and I'm the author of the book Girls to the Front, The True Story of the Riot Girl Revolution. I grew up outside Washington, D.C. in the early 90s, and when I discovered Riot Girl in 11th grade, it was a complete revelation for me. I went to Riot Girl meetings in Arlington, Virginia, for my last 2 years of high school, and made a zine and formed a band with people that I had met through the meetings. My first band was called AKA Harlot Number One. And as time went on and, you know, my life moved on, I became a writer and I was writing about music a lot and about activism and about feminism. And I began to notice that the way that Riot Girl was going down in history was very, very different from what I and my friends had experienced. And a lot of what had been so important to us about it was being lost. And it was really being spoken of as a musical movement, bands that had been peripherally, if at all, connected with Riot Girl in the moment were just being lumped in. And it was the story of Riot Girl as a grassroots radical feminist movement of young women was being completely lost to history. And it was very important to me that that story get told. And I realized that I had the means and the ability to do it. And by the means, I mean I knew a lot of the people that I would need to talk to. I had the training because I'd been working as a writer for some time. And I had a job that I wanted to leave.
Could you just give us a brief background on what Riot Girl is?
It's interesting that you say is, because, you know, I write about it as a historical moment. I think that the energy lives on, but I'm very careful about saying that people now should create something now as opposed to drawing on something that happened at another period in time and trying to recreate that or channel that, because Riot Girl in the 90s was a radical feminist punk rock movement of young women who expressed themselves through music, writing, art, political organizing, who had meetings, who connected with one another through networks of letters and zines. And part of what made what, I'll say we because I was part of this, part of what made what we were doing so exciting was that we were responding directly and immediately to the conditions in our own lives and not looking to another period of time and not looking to another culture or another set of cultural standards to validate what we were doing or to give us hope. We were creating our own hope and our own purpose. So your question was, what is Riot Girl? And I would say in the present tense, Riot Girl, I suppose, is a reminder, I hope, to people right now to create cultures and communities that feed their needs right now.
Do you see any of the original ideals and spirit of the Riot Girl movement active today?
There are two answers to that. The one that I think you are perhaps asking is, what are young people doing right now? And I think that there's probably a lot that I don't know about because I'm not 20. One of the reasons I'm so excited to be on this tour is I really want to hear from people about what they are creating and what they're building with one another. The other half of that, though, is how are the ideals of Riot Girl alive today through the people who've been touched by it, whether because we grew up in the early 90s or people who found out about it later and were moved by it. And I worked with my best friend, ex-Portlander Kat Tice, to make a video project where we solicited video testimonials from people talking about how Riot Girl influenced their life right now. And that that video project is up on the book's website, which is girlstothefront.com. And the girls is just spelled like you would find it in the dictionary. And it's a grid of videos of multiple people talking about how the values of the movement are still alive in their lives. And so I think that it's alive in as many ways as there are people who are carrying those ideals forward. And I often wonder if the internet has kind of messed that up, because it's so easy to superficially have company without necessarily not being lonely. You know, something that was different in the early 90s, we didn't have the internet. We would connect with each other by writing letters, like by hand. a different letter to everybody we wrote to on about how we felt in that moment. And I think that really strong relationships were built through that. I wonder how people in the age of Facebook and blogs, where it's so easy to broadcast something to everybody without, even when we had zines, you know, you would send somebody your zine, but you would write a long handwritten letter and stick it into the zine. So imagine if you had your blog and every time someone read your blog, they were not only reading your blog, but a handwritten letter that you had written to that person reading your blog. It would be a completely different experience. You're framing it in a personal relationship and in a relationship of accountability that I don't know if there are ways that people are harnessing the internet to make that happen or not. I had been earlier in the process, like last week, when people would ask me about the difference, like, what's the difference between pre-internet being a misfit teenager and now? And I would say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to over-romanticize how hard it was to find people back then, because now everybody can find everybody and you can have your chat room and you can have your bulletin boards and nobody can be lonely. And like the next day was the tragic suicide of that queer college student at Rutgers who had just the day before been on a young gay men's chat room saying, I'm really like bummed out about this thing that my roommate has done to me. How do you think I should deal with it? And so it's really interesting to me that doesn't obviously stem the despair. Not that interpersonal relationships always do either, but it was a big wake-up call to me that the internet doesn't fix everything for young misfits and queers and radicals and feminists. Like, we have to actually take care of each other in a much more concerted way.
Throughout your book, you kind of mentioned how the media versus Riot Girl, there's this ongoing struggle with being misrepresented when they are represented in media, and kind of an unofficial media blackout and ways of dealing with, you know, they want people to hear about them. They want to, you know, people to join and feel welcome. But at the same time, they don't want these large organizations coming and saying Riot Girl is all about being fashionable or hating men or whatever other generalizations can come out of this. Did you find, when you decided that you wanted to write a book about this and you wanted to sort of record this history, did you find any sort of resistance to getting the word out or any arguments that arose from that?
I think I was really harder on myself than anybody was on me. I expected going into it to get a lot more pushback than I did, in fact. People were really open, really glad that it was being done by somebody. I think that my experience would have been very different had I not been somebody coming and saying, hey, this was so important to me growing up. I remember when we met at that meeting, remember when we met at that convention. Very different than if I was just some journalist who was like, this fascinates me. And of course, there's that element of it too, obviously, but it really comes from this deeply personal place. So that really helped people recognize that it would be a good thing if I was the one to write it. And people were very giving and very generous with their time and their recollections and their resources. And I was just constantly humbled and awed by people's generosity, and it just spurred me to do honor to that as much as I could. The book came out a week ago. I did two events in New York in the space of a week, and my tour began on Tuesday, actually.
Wow.
So this is only my third city. Tour is new.
So New York, California.
Yeah, I did LA, yeah. San Francisco, and then I flew here today, and I'm doing two events here on Sunday. On Sunday, October 10th at 8 p.m. at Roturé. It's going to be my West Coast book release, and there are going to be performances by Tara Jane O'Neill and Feelin' All Right, which is a super group doing 70s soft rock covers, and Janet Pants and Cynthia Nelson Band and Ghost Mom. And I guess I'll read a little, but I won't bore anybody too much. That's going to be at 8 o'clock at Roturé, 315 Southeast 3rd Ave. And because that's at a nightclub and is 21+, I also put together an all-ages event at In Other Words Bookstore, the feminist bookstore that everyone loves. That's at 4 p.m. also Sunday, October 10th, at In Other Words, which is 8 Northeast Killingsworth.
Nice. So in that span of time, have you had any exceptionally good or exceptionally bad experiences in kind of putting yourself out there with this entire history of Riot Girl?
So in my time on tour so far, I will say, well, this isn't tour exactly, but my the book release in New York was really amazing. It was sold out, and there were like people lined up down the block, and I had a lot of my friends playing music, and I got to play myself. I played piano in the backing band for Mira, who was headlining, and that was really fun. It had been a long time since I had played piano in a band. I had usually played drums for a long time, but piano is my first instrument. And Kathleen Hanna came and said really nice things about the book, which I will be posting later today on my Tumblr. She said it was all right for me to post the video. So my Tumblr, FYI, is Sarah Marcus with no H, saramarcus.tumblr.com, which you can also get to by clicking blog at the book's website, which is girlstothefront.com. So that'll be up tonight. Tonight is Thursday, so probably by the time you're listening to this, it'll be there. So that was New York, not a tour. Then I flew to L.A., and L.A. was kind of amazing. I didn't really know who was going to show up. I don't have very many close friends there. But a friend of mine from junior high showed up with her husband, and a woman whom I had exchanged zines with in high school a lot. Her name is Whitney Hubbs, and she made a zine called Alien, and we were pen pals in high school and had never met. She showed up. That was amazing. And two friends from like my first year of college who I hadn't really seen since then showed up and were really marvelous. So it was very like old home week. And then in San Francisco, I saw people from like my more recent past, just like friends from New York who were in San Francisco for the year or whatever. So it actually felt very much like very now-y. And here I am in Portland, which is my favorite place on the West Coast. I lived here for 3 months while I was writing the book. And for a while, I would come here for like 2 or 3 weeks every year. And I'm very happy to be back. And I can't wait to see what happens at the Portland events. I'm sure it'll be exciting.
So now that people are excited, people are reading it, it's being recognized not only as a music book, but also, you know, important feminist work, punk. What do you as the author hope that people will walk away from your book having in mind?
Oh, wow. You know, I have kind of, there's like two audience segments that I have in mind, and then there's like additional segments that I don't know what they're getting and I can't wait to hear about it. But the two main readerships that I had in my brain as I was writing were, number one, people like me, not necessarily who had been like directly involved in Riot Girl to the point of like going to meetings and making a zine, but people who were of a certain age in the 90s and were influenced by this stuff, knew that Riot Girl was going on, drew some measure of inspiration or strength from it without perhaps knowing a lot of details. And my idea for the book is that it helps to achieve a kind of integration, that it's not just like a nostalgia of, oh, I remember what it felt like to be 19 and really care about politics, but to say, oh, I lost touch with how important it is to give me and my friends credit for being able to create valuable culture or to set standards of how we want to be in the world as political and ethical beings. You know, these are things that I think can often get a little bit lost in the logistical nightmares of, I'm making scare quotes with my fingers, adulthood. But that I think it's really important to bring those into the present and see what we can learn from who we were and what was important to us at that point. So then the other part, the other audience segment that I have a vision of due to my work at Girls Rock Camps and other girls summer programs is the young women who know that Riot Girl existed and are very good at internet researching, so have probably heard all of the bands with way more ease than I was able to hear them when I was in high school. And my idea for them is, as I was saying before, to help them to sidestep the feeling that they missed out on the real stuff, but to feel that the ideals and values that made Riot Girl happen in 91, 92, 93, 94 are just as available for being harnessed in 2010, and that people can create their own culture right now. They can create their own communities right now and decide what they want, how they want to be supported, and how they want to support each other and do it. I also really want other people to read it, but I don't know exactly who they are or what they'll get out of it, and I'm really excited to hear from them as well.
Do you have any plans for other projects or additions to this project in your future?
Well, right now, I've just have this multi-tentacled online empire. I'm kidding. But, I mean, you know, the book has a really beautiful website that was designed by a designer whom I love, and the website is girlstothefront.com, girls spelled the regular dictionary way. And through that website, you can get to the video project that I mentioned, which is called Whole Heart, Mind, Body, and that was the video project Kat Tice and I made together. Through the website, you can also get to my new Tumblr, which is sarahmarcus.tumblr.com with no H in the Sarah. You know, and like I've got this big Facebook page for the book that is findable, and there's a lot of discussion going on the Facebook page. So that's a lot, is just figuring out how to not just have it be like, here's a book, it's this one-way communication, I said what I was going to say, now you can consume it. But how to use the book as a tool for discussion. So when I go to Olympia in a couple days, there's going to be a panel discussion. And when I go to Milwaukee in a couple weeks, there's going to be a full weekend-long festival put on by someone that I went to Riot Girl meetings with when I was in high school. And I intend for the event at 4 o'clock on Sunday to be a discussion, and hopefully to get specifically young folks talking about like what kind of community they need and how they can create it together. So that right now is my project, making the book move through the world in an active and instigatory fashion. You know, I have a book in mind for my next book, but I'm not going to talk about it on the radio right now. But that's in my brain as well for when tour finally winds down at the end of the fall.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
In addition to the 4 p.m. all-ages discussion at, in other words, which is this Sunday, October 10th, there's also a 21-plus, I'm sorry, show, party, shindig, hoo-ha, throwdown at Roturé with performances by Tara Jane O'Neill, Feelin' All Right, which is a supergroup doing 70s soft rock covers, Janet Pants, Dance Theater, Cynthia Nelson Band, and Ghost Mom featuring, if he is well enough to come down from Olympia, Billy Caron, the guitarist from Bikini Kill. And I will read something and some people will DJ, and a marvelous time will be had by all, and I hope people will show up.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brianna.